Our guest today is no stranger to Prophecy USA. In fact, he's become a dear friend and a prophetic voice in the body of Christ for such a time as this. As most of you know, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn is a best-selling author multiple times over. His books are listed below, but today he has a very special offer to offer the body of Christ, and we're pleased to help him make that available to our listeners. Rabbi Cahn, welcome to Prophecy USA.
Great, great to be with you, Rick. As always, it's always a blessing.
Rabbi, we've enjoyed all of your books, and you have a new novel that's coming out. For the first time since it came out, there's going to be a total new version of The Harbinger, and you're introducing it on this program. But first, can you tell us about The Harbinger? It was a phenomenon, and how did it originate?
Yeah, the Harbinger was the first book I ever wrote, and it's still coming true. So that's the first, and it's a prophetic book concerning, I mean, the subtitle is The Ancient Mystery That Holds the Secret of America's Future. And it happened when I was standing at Ground Zero and in New York, and I saw an object. It was a tree that had been struck down, and it was like I heard the Lord say, "There's a mystery here. You have to seek it out. You have to find it." And I started this mystery started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, like one puzzle piece, next puzzle piece, next puzzle piece, and it just kept it was like blowing me away. And I shared the message to the congregation that I lead here in New Jersey, which is Beth Israel, and everybody said, "Well, this has got to go to the nation. This is doing." I didn't do anything though. But about 2 years later, the Lord said, "This is the book." You know, I always knew I was supposed to write books, but this is the first book. Write The Harbinger. And when I started writing it, and when I wrote it like first nonfiction, I mean just straight out. And when I finished, it was like the Lord interrupted me again and said, "Okay, rewrite the whole thing and do this time with a story, with a narrative, because that's going to win people because this is a big subject. This is a heavy thing and you're going to reach more people." And so when I started writing it that way, at that moment, I saw the prophet in the story. I saw the man called Muriel, the seals. He's getting these ancient seals that are on each one uncovering a mystery, a harbinger, and they're walking through New York City and they're going from one to the other. And then Washington, D.C. I saw it all like in 2 hours. And when I started writing it like that with the prophet, it just wrote itself. I mean, it was the easiest thing I ever did. It was like the book was writing itself. And then I had never written a book, but then it was a total supernatural story that how God took that and then made it into a book. And then, then it became a New York Times bestseller and was on the New York Times, I think, for like 100 weeks. I mean, it was crazy. It just took off because of people were, it was touching a prophetic moment. And this has not stopped since where we are now.
And the mystery of the Harbinger, it's continued to unfold and come true. Is that not true?
Yeah. It has never stopped. That's why I think it's so important that this new version comes out. And I didn't plan it. This wasn't my plan, but I believe it's the Lord, that there's a reason why he wants the Harbinger is warning of judgment. And I believe there's a reason why he wants the Harbinger, the graphic novel, to come out to reach more people, people who have never been reached, people, from this generation and beyond, and just people who haven't read it or didn't read it, or unsaved people. So I believe there's a reason why now it is crucial that this is coming out.
So is this is directed towards a younger crowd?
It's directed toward every crowd, but one of those is the younger crowd. It's the Harbinger. The graphic novel, for those that are, is really for everybody. I mean, first of all, if you're a reader, I believe, I didn't come up with the idea, you'll love it. If you're not a reader, you'll love it. That's the key. If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, you'll say, "Wow, whoa, what's this?" So the thing, and the younger generation is less of readers, and they go more visual. So definitely to reach that, many people have children in their lives who are not saved or need to be, or not really on fire for the Lord. So this is for them. And this, you know, this is what it looks like. I only have one copy right now. They're going to read it because it's like a movie. It's like you're watching a movie, you know, and it's a full book. This is, so for those who don't know graphic novels, it's a full book, but it's filled, but it's all visual. And it's, of course, it has, you know, it has every major thing in the Harbinger. I mean, it's filled with the words and all that is there. But, it is a book. So it's like, it's in between a book and a movie. So I think that, I believe this is a prophetic tool, a prophetic vessel that people can use to reach everybody. Because again, nobody's going to turn it down and nobody's going to, and anybody who sees it, they're going to open it up and they're going to read it.
Prophecy USA is proud to present their latest book, America's Josiah Moment, an end-time reprieve of things to come. Let us unveil to you what millions are discovering. The United States of America is more than an experiment in democracy. She is a fulfillment of divine proclamation. Go to prophecyusa.org or call the number on your screen now. And for just $25, receive your copy of this powerful book and help us spread the word.
Can you just kind of set the stage for our listeners? It's the days, the last days of ancient Israel and America, and the first shaking, the warning from Isaiah 9:10. Can you just explain that? That's the foundation of the Harbinger, is it not?
Yeah, in the last days of ancient Israel, there were nine harbingers as represented in Isaiah that were given, appeared to the nation of Israel in its last day. And it was to warn them. It was to wake them up. It was to shake them. It was to bring them back.
Yes.
But they rejected them. They would not be what they did. They responded with defiance. And the defiance is recorded by Isaiah in Isaiah 9:10, which he's speaking about. What happened is God allowed an attack to come on the land. Now it was temporary. It was limited. But it was a shaking. It was a wake-up call. It was a sign of what was going to come if they didn't turn back. And an enemy struck the land, and then the people responded. Instead of coming back to God, they responded by saying, you know what? We're going to come back stronger without God. We're going to, with defiance and arrogance. And so Isaiah said, the people say in the arrogance of their heart, they say, the bricks have fallen in the attack, but we will rebuild with gigantic stones, quarried stones. The sycamore trees that were struck down in the attack, but we will plant stronger trees in their place. And there's a particular tree. And so the thing is that is a warning because they're heading for judgment now. Now, years later, they would be completely wiped off the map because they rejected that warning.
They were rebuilding outside of the covenant laws that God had given them. Is that correct?
They were rebuilding with, instead of coming back to God and God would have blessed them and God would have built them up. They were saying, no, no, we're going to do it on our own power, our own strength without God. We're not going to be humbled. We're not going to turn back to God. And now the greater judgment's going to come. And it did. But the thing is, now America is the nation. America is also a nation that was founded on the pattern of God because of it, like ancient Israel. But America has also turned away from God, and just like Israel did. And so the warning, the signs, the harbingers have now appeared on American soil. Some have appeared in New York City. Some have appeared in Washington, D.C., some appeared in the form of objects, some as ceremonies, some involving even leaders, even the president. And they've all happened and specifically and just as in the Bible. And so, man, nobody could be coordinating this. Nobody could have been putting this together. And the thing is, it happened with, began with 9/11. Remember, it has to begin with a strike on the land. And that was our strike. And it was contained, it was limited, but it was a wake-up call. And remember, everybody right after that was saying, oh, they were flocking to churches and saying, God bless America. But there was no revival because there was no repentance. And without repentance, there's no revival. And so instead of getting better, we got worse. And we're following the exact pattern of ancient Israel because that's what they did. And that heads to judgment. And the thing is that all of these harbingers start appearing. I can give you a little taste of them.
Yes.
One is called the Sycamore. And that is, well, I said that, you know, when the enemies came in, they struck down the sycamore tree. That was a sign of national judgment, the striking down of the tree. So could it happen in America? Well, you know, if you're looking for trees, the first place you go is not New York City, you know. Yet, in the last moments of 9/11, when the last tower is coming down, it sends forth a beam, and the beam strikes an object, and the object is a tree that's right there at ground zero, and the tree is the sycamore tree, and it struck down the sign of national judgment, same sign, but now on ground zero. And then it says, the people said, well, we will replace them, the fallen sycamore, with a stronger tree. We're coming back stronger. That, you know, and your Bibles will say cedar, but the word is erez tree, which can mean which is a family of trees. Well, a while after 9/11, a tree appears in the sky, and it starts coming down, and it's being lowered into the exact spot where the sycamore tree was fell down and was struck down and was planted. We will replace the sycamore, it says. And so the tree that they planted in the place of the fallen sycamore tree was the exact same biblical tree mentioned in Isaiah. It's called the Erez tree. And it could only be a certain specific trees, and that was what they lowered down, was an Erez tree. And they had no idea what they're doing. And they had a ceremony around it and said, we're going back stronger, we're coming back strong. There, it's all replaying. And by the way, after I wrote The Harbinger, that tree represented America coming back. But after I wrote The Harbinger, the tree that represented America started withering away. And no matter what they did, they could not stop the withering. They changed the soil, changed everything. And finally, it was struck down on a Hebrew holy day.
Are you seeing this as a prophetic foreshadowing of what happened to Israel is coming to America? The judgment?
That is the warning. That is the warning. If we don't turn back, if America does not turn back, it is heading to judgment. And all the signs, I mean, there are nine signs, and all of them. Let me tell you something that I didn't even know when I wrote The Harbinger. And that is that, you know, there's something called the one-year Bible.
Yes.
And the one-year Bible, you know, every day you've got a scripture that's appointed for that day. Well, if you open up the one-year Bible to the Harbinger scripture, Isaiah 9:10, which is about that first strike on the land, the strike of the enemy, the attack, and the beginning of judgment, you'll see on the top of the page will be written out, it'll say September 11th. September 11th. That scripture was appointed about the strike on the land, beginning of judgment, was appointed for September 11th. The Bible came out years before 9/11. Years before. And so every day on 9/11, the believers are opening up their Bibles across America and reading about the attack on where it says September 11th on the top of the page. On that morning, before the CIA, the Pentagon, the Defense Department could have any idea, believers are reading about it, about the attack on the land, where it's all appointed for that day. And they had no idea. Nobody had any idea, but it was all there.
And you say there's a word embedded in ground zero right now. What is that word?
Well, it was embedded then. And that is that, you know, when one of the harbingers is the tower, okay, that they build this tower. It's because it says in the ancient translation of the Bible, the Septuagint, the way they translate Isaiah 9:10, they say, the bricks have fallen. Come, let us build for ourselves a tower, which is like the spirit of Babel. It's saying like they're defying God. We're going to build a tower. Well, in ground zero, there was a page of the Bible that had been torn out. It was there. They found the page in the ruins of ground zero. And what was it? It was, come, let us build for ourselves a tower. It was Babel.
The United States leads peace talks with Ukraine and Russia, as well as with Israel and Iran. The United States leads peace talks with the whole Middle East through the Abraham Peace Accords. So why has Saudi Arabia called President Trump the president of the world? The biggest family feud between Abraham's sons, Ishmael and Isaac, is going to be in the Gog, Magog end time war, which will include all of these nations. So if America is not mentioned in the Bible, why is she leading these end time peace talks? Prophecy USA is proud to present their latest book, America's Josiah Moment, an end time reprieve of things to come. Go to prophecyusa.org or call the number on your screen now. And for just $25, receive your copy of this powerful book and help us spread the word. We are waiting to hear from you.
The mystery of the harbinger, has it continued? Like, where are we at right now with how you're interpreting scripture?
No, there's so much to it. It is continuing now. I mean, it is, well, one, there have been several more signs. Two of the things I just told you, three of them happened after I wrote the book. So even signs have continued, warning. But then I wrote a second book called The Harbinger 2, which is the sequel because it's continuing. But the biggest thing is that what The Harbinger was warning is of a nation that is being warned by God. But instead of coming back to God, it's defying God. And so instead of getting better, it gets worse.
But there's a remnant. There's a remnant inside America, is there not? That's raising up a shout?
Absolutely. As there was there was a remnant back then, too.
Yes.
You know, so there is absolutely a remnant and a large remnant. But the thing is that America as a whole is defying God far worse than it did back then. You know, think of what's happened since then to America. We have a reprieve right now. We have a window in some ways, not in every way, but in some ways. And so that's why I believe the harbinger is even more important now, because, you know, it heads to judgment. You know, the pattern is God warns, but then he gives a window, and the window he gives is to come back to him or head to judgment. And that's where we are. And so far, America has not turned, but we're praying that it can happen. And because we have a window within a window, we have Donald Trump. And again, not saying Donald Trump is not the answer. He's a person and he's a vessel. And he may do a million other things. And we know that he's got all his quirks, but he's also a vessel. He's being used by God. And so to try to turn back. So we have to pray now as never before. So this is so crucial now. That is why, again, I believe that the Lord wanted the harbinger to come out now in this whole new form to reach far more people who would never read a regular book or whether they would or not, they'll read it. That's the cool thing about it.
Would you say that currently with the movement, with the Trump administration, there seems to be a sifting between the wheat and the chaff in our culture? With regards to, some people are coming back to God, we're seeing revival take place in pockets, but there's another people that seem to be hardening their heart. Can you see that?
Absolutely. It's like a polarization. It's like the dark gets darker, the light gets lighter. You have a battle for the future of America. And on one hand, you have states seeking to save babies and stop the killing of the unborn children. On the other hand, you have states trying to increase abortion, you know, and go further and go further and further. You have Trump, you know, saying, you know, to the schools, you do not indoctrinate our children into this crazy gender ideology and confuse them and mutilate them. On the other hand, you have the schools saying, no, we're going to keep on doing it. We're going to resist you. You got the blue states, you got the red states. You actually have both going on. And that's why America's hanging in the balance.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, this is a sign from the harbinger that also, I mean, is ultimately toward to redemption. And that is that I saw something in the Bible that when judgment came to Israel, or the shaking or destruction, it would return to the place where the nation was dedicated to God. At the beginning, it was dedicated to God. Well, with Israel, that was the Temple Mount. Solomon dedicated the temple, prayed for the future of all that. And then when the judgment came, it came and it came back to the temple. The Temple Mount was destroyed. Well, and that was the consecration ground. So it returns to that. So does America have a consecration ground? Well, was America consecrated to God? It was. On the very first day of America as a constituted nation, when it had for the first time a president, you know, Congress, it was the inauguration of George Washington. And when he was inaugurated, he gave the first speech ever, the first words of a president. And in those words, he gave a prophetic warning. He said, if America ever turns away from God, the blessings of heaven will be removed from the land. So that's the warning. Then he took the first government on foot to a little stone chapel where they dedicated America to God in prayer on the first day. If we can find out where that is. Now, where was it? It was in the nation's capital. That's where he's inaugurated. But it wasn't Washington, D.C. There was no Washington, D.C. then. It wasn't Philadelphia. The first capital of America was New York City.
New York.
So the judgment returns to the place of consecration. But not just that. Where exactly was it? The place where America was dedicated to God, it's America's consecration ground, is ground zero. America was dedicated to God at ground zero. And so the destruction returns to the ground of consecration. And when all eyes were back on ground zero, when all that happened, the world, America, God was calling America to look back to the ground where it had dedicated itself to God. And when 9/11 came, a shockwave went forth from ground zero and it struck Federal Hall, which is the place on which Washington stood when he gave the warning of what would happen if America ever turned away from God. And it put a crack in the foundation of America. And all around ground zero, all the buildings were ruined or destroyed, except one. One was protected, which it was the little stone chapel where America was dedicated to God. And the thing is, the reason why it was the only one that was protected is because of the harbinger. The sycamore tree saved it by taking it and being struck down. And so the point, and the harbingers actually, well, many of them, several of them appeared on that consecration ground. That's where it happened, the tree and that. And the point of the harbingers isn't to condemn a nation. It's to save America.
To save
it. It's to call it back. And, you know, that's where God says, if my people who are called by my name. So God wants salvation. God wants that, but it can only happen through revival. Without revival, it can't happen. And again, people, and without the gospel, that's why, again, I believe that why this wasn't my timing. I didn't come up with it. But the timing is to bring, is to have the harbinger come out again, but now in a way that is, that anybody can read it, young or old, reader or non-reader, in an explosion of graphic thing. And the other thing, well, I'm glad they did it, because one of the things it does that I couldn't do with the original book is it shows, like, on one page you'll see the ancient harbinger that appeared to Israel, and the page will be split in two, and on the other side, like a mirror, you'll see the harbinger that reappeared in America, on American soil, side by side, and it's like amazing, but how it is. So there's prophetic things. You know, God speaks through pictures. You know, God uses pictures, visions, symbols all the time. It's prophetic. And so I believe this is a prophetic vessel, explosion, and tool that everybody can use to give to people in their life who don't know the Lord, or they're not on fire for the Lord, or they need to know, they need to be ready, they need to be waking up what's happening. So it's really for the graphic novel is really for everybody.
Rabbi, I'm sure that your goal in writing The Harbinger, it's a good book, but you want people to get into the great book. Am I right? The Harbinger will pull people into this book.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it all. Well, and to pull them into God, for those who don't know, but yeah, the harbinger and all this is totally grounded based on the scriptures, and not only the templates, the patterns in the Bible, the templates in the Bible, and the scriptures like Isaiah 9:10. I mean, it's pure scripture, and then everything else is as well.
So, what does the new version do that couldn't be done in the old version? Does it bring it more into picture form so that it's
Well,
easier to understand?
I don't know if you can even see it, but yeah,
Yes.
you're seeing. I'm just looking as I'm saying this. You're seeing the not you're not just you know. See, there's something about I hear that. Here's another one. This is the, I don't know if you can see it. The prophet and Nouriel and the harbinger on the Empire State Building. The thing about it is that you know, I'll give you an example. The publisher of the harbinger, Steve Strang, read this. He saw they showed him the graphic novel, and he said, "I saw all sorts of things that I didn't see when I read it. And I'm the publisher, and I didn't see it. I've looked at it, and I'm seeing things that I didn't see, and I wrote it." So this is there's something about it when it comes at you visually, and you're actually seeing the harbingers, you're seeing the seals, you're seeing the places, you're seeing it happen. There's something about it. So again, yeah, one of the things is you see visually, you see side by side the ancient and the modern and the parallel that's happening in our day. So yeah, there are things that are going to strike you. Even if you read the harbinger over and over again, there are things that you are is going to strike you because you're seeing it. And there's something of that God speaks in that way. So it's powerful. And again, every single thing is translated, even, you know, as I said, the let me just show you something if I can. Well, I'm doing this as a, you can't, I don't know if you're going to see this. So you see things, and everybody relates. We, more than anything, we relate by what we see. And so it's going to be real powerful. And it's ultimately to save the lost and, you know, to wake up the sleeping, you know, and I've set on fire those who are lukewarm, and for all believers to be ready.
How can our viewers get this? The Harbinger graphic novel.
The Harbinger graphic novel is literally, well, as soon as it releases, which is probably about the time that you're going to air this, I'm assuming, around that time, it doesn't matter. It's going to be as good as released at that time. It should be everywhere. Walmart, you know, Barnes and Noble, but
Perfect.
it's on Amazon. So even right now, no matter when it releases, which is, if you go to Amazon or you go to a place online where you get books, you'll see it. You know, and you'll be the first to get it. You can pre-order it or however it is, you'll get it.
Folks, I hope you've enjoyed our interview with Rabbi Kahn. We're out of time right now, but let me remind you, my name's Rick Pearson. This is Prophecy USA, and we're here to let you know God is in total control. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is alive, and he's coming back much sooner than many people think. We'll see you next week on Prophecy USA. Shalom.